Dear congregants, I'm afraid there's a stranger among us.
What does he mean?
I see you asking yourselves, is he being metaphorical? Am I a stranger unto myself? I'm seeing some faces go red. So look to your left and look to your right. See your spouse, your child, your tot, your neighbor, your illegitimate cousin. Are they blushing? Do they look guilty? What desires are they hiding? What secrets, what terrible deeds have they done? Are they ensnaring you right this very moment? Tonight, when you tuck your tot into terrified slumber, or when you lean to kiss your spouse goodnight, look them in the eye and say, I know what you did. Answer no questions they might have. Embrace betrayal, for betrayal is one of the 9 holy mysteries of the story. The story must be told.
The story must be told.
Today's story comes straight from the story's locked vault. Refurbished, renewed. New to those who have not heard it. A refreshing warning to those who have. It is brutal. It is good. It is terrible. For it is the story. But before we hear it, Sister Callista will lead us with a song.
I have a sack full of batteries. Sizes AA, AAA, and a hefty bag of Ds. Uncoincidentally, there have been a series of break-ins in my neighborhood. But when the cops arrive, nothing is missing. As far as they can tell, batteries jingle in my sack. What is a battery but food for a smoke alarm? I have snuck, I have took the food from smoke alarms and carbon monoxide detectors from my drowsy neighbors. The alarms have starved. When that first puff of smoke or invisible poison gas goes undetected, I shall laugh. Ha! Batteries in hand. Ooh, squish, squish.
Ha ha! And what a story true. What cunning, what deception. Why, it sounds like the devious doings of our dear Chalms has had quite an effect on you, Sister Callista. Oh, Chalms, so sweet, so true. Malicious in action, mute in word. Oh, Chalms. Oh, Chalms, hear us.
The story must be told.
The story must be told.
This story must be told. Burial by Silver Cup Waterhead. I excused myself and let him get to work tuning up the air conditioner. When he hunched over in the grass to inspect it, his pants pulled down slightly on the back and I could see the crack of his ass. I was fascinated by it, but repulsed because it wasn't very clean, with a faded dark stripe up the small of his back. I walked around to the front of the house as the tips of my shoes got wet in the morning dew. A hawk screamed over my head as it rode a thermal. It floated over my property that ran acres in every direction into the hills. The screen door wheezed behind me as I entered the house, and then finally it shut with a tiny slam moments later. By that time, I was already headed up the stairs, taking 2 steps at a time. I got to the top of the stairs and realized I'd kept my shoes on, leaving wet footprints every other step. Blood pounded in my ears and my chest knotted with anger at myself, but I remained motionless and stayed with the feeling until it was gone. In my bedroom, I went to the nightstand and I unlocked it. I slid out the drawer and pulled out the heavy plastic box. I playfully plopped on the bed, bouncing slightly, and held the case on my lap. I undid the locks and took the gleaming 9mm out of its styrofoam depression. With another key, I removed the trigger lock, and then I pulled the clip out of its own depression in the box and slid it into the handgun. I cocked the weapon with a loud chunk. I stood up and placed it underneath my belly button, trapping it between my belt and my stomach. I pulled my shirt down and headed downstairs. I went through the kitchen and pulled saran wrap out of the kitchen island. The metal teeth built into the cardboard of the saran wrap holder sliced my thumb open underneath the joint, and a bead of blood let itself out. I cursed and felt anger wash over me from the back of my neck, over the back of my head, down my face and throat, and into the rest of my body. I stopped and breathed, stayed with the hot feeling until it passed, felt calm, and went out the back door and onto the deck. On the deck, a golf putter leaned upside down against the siding, its rubber handle balancing the iron on the wood surrounded by loose golf balls. I kept its spongy covering on its head and walked off the deck, spinning the putter playfully at my side. Around the corner, the technician continued to work, now on his knees instead of squatting. He felt my approach and greeted me again without taking his eyes off his work. I came up behind him and cast a shadow over the air conditioner. He turned around, saw the putter, and smiled. "Getting some holes in?" he asked. His crooked, nicotine-stained teeth formed a smile under his small lips. I dropped the saran wrap in the grass, raised the golf club shoulder length, and swung it like a baseball bat against his cheek. His cheekbone cracked, echoing off the trees, and he fell backwards. A bruise already began to form as blood oozed out of the blunt injury. Dazed, he laid on his back on the grass and took deep breaths, stunned. I threw the putter away and it spun like a helicopter before landing in the grass. I kneeled down to grab the saran wrap and walked a few paces on my knees towards the technician. His eyes blinked without really seeing me. I rolled him over on his stomach as my knees began to get wet. He wasn't bleeding very badly. I put a knee in the center of his back and raised his head, reaching around to his face. I began spinning the saran wrap around his head. When he couldn't breathe, he began to lamely struggle and he wriggled on the ground. I got up and stood over him. I removed the gun from my belt and pointed it at the back of his plastic-wrapped head. I pulled the trigger and his head snapped forward, face-planting him into the grass with a dull thud against the dirt. A stream of blood arched into the air from his wounds and then slowly lost steam like a hose turning off. I stood close to him for a moment and watched the blood spread between the layers of saran wrap without escaping. I tried to feel something, guilt, happiness, ecstasy, but instead I felt nothing. This disappointed me. After I realized I wouldn't feel anything, I pulled his legs up and began dragging him towards the driveway. The plastic wrap began to pull from his chin as it slid against the ground, so I had to stop and then I wrapped his head tighter. His head was still warm, and I got blood on my hands from the exit wound, but sealed his head the best I could, like wrapping a piece of fruit. I picked his feet back up and pulled him on the driveway. The rough tips of his shoes were a perfect grip, nor did they slide off his feet. I reached to his belt and removed his keys from a carabiner. Then I unhatched the bed of his pickup and gently let the door fall into place. He was heavier than he looked, but I eventually slumped him into the back of the pickup truck. Before hopping in, I jogged into the garage and pulled a heavy tarp of camouflage netting off a steel shelf I had built the summer before. I hugged it with both arms against my chest and slowly walked back to the truck. I put it in the back with the technician and then I got into his truck. I did a 3-point turn in my driveway and I went down a gravel road I'd made on my property. After 3 miles, I made a turn into a natural path in the woods and then I drove another mile or so. Finally, I turned again, deeper into the woods, and then I stopped the truck in a little tiny opening. I'd planned all of this. I got out of the truck. A few days before, I'd put a plastic container box behind a nearby tree. It was like a giant Tupperware container. Inside was a sledgehammer, several packs of saran wrap, and tent stakes. I took the saran wrap and I went back to the truck. I pulled him onto the ground and began wrapping his body like a spider. It felt like overkill, but I wrapped him until he was in a cocoon that was at least a centimeter thick. For a few days, I would leave him in the bed of the truck, so I lifted him inside again. I realized I could have hopped into the truck and wrapped him there. I was so angry with myself, I stomped on his flat back and stifled a scream. I stayed with the anger until it passed and my heart slowed back down. I went back to the box and took out the sledgehammer and the stakes. I walked to the passenger door and pulled the heavy camouflage net off the seat. It took about 15 minutes to cover the truck and hammer the stakes into the ground. It looked inconspicuous even directly in front of me. I clapped the dust off my hands like a cartoon character. This made me laugh. I tossed the items back into the big plastic container and pulled it, staggering backwards, 30 feet away exactly where I'd previously dug a hole 8 feet into the ground. There was a mound of unearthed dirt and a shovel next to it. I carefully put the box in the hole and I covered it with dirt. I patted it down with the flat side of the shovel and covered it with leaves and sticks. That, too, was hard to see even in front of me like the truck. It was like it was never there. I covered the shovel with leaves because I'd want to use it later. Next to the tomb was an ATV also covered in camouflage netting. I'd put it there a few days before. I removed the camouflage and was surprised to see it had stayed dry despite the rain. It had an entire tank of gas. I climbed on and drove out slowly. The late afternoon sunlight bled from the sky between the trees. I stopped the ATV to enjoy this. Now I felt happy, but then I realized it was from the beauty of nature and not what I had done. So ultimately, I was dissatisfied. I found the gravel path and followed it back home. I pulled the ATV into the garage, shut it off, and dismounted. I went into the house and had a big glass of water. I took off my clothes in the kitchen and put them in a heavy black garbage bag, and I tied it tight. I left it on the floor, went upstairs, showered, and put on fresh clothes. I went back to the kitchen and then lifted the garbage bag, bringing it into the backyard. I carried it a few miles into a clearing I'd made in the woods a few weeks before. I could have driven the ATV, but I was trembling with furious energy. I couldn't determine why I was still so angry. I must have walked for at least an hour, but I was in a strange daydream and the woods swirled around me in a soft focus. I ignored the witches I saw hopping between the trees and the eyes I felt staring down on me, heavy on my back. They would come and go, but I knew they couldn't hurt me. I had made them happy. The sun had disappeared and the sky was pink and it was orange. I built a fire and, once it was tall enough, threw the bag in. My clothes crackled and eventually disappeared in the flames. I stared at the fire for a long time and began to daydream. The fire beat against my face and the smoke made my eyes itch. I spoke with the creatures around me and we calmly began planning for what would come next. Tomorrow, or a day from then, I would get a phone call from the electrician's employer. They'd frantically ask if I had seen him, and I'd tell them he came to my house and got to work on the air conditioner. I'd then say that I heard him curse loudly from inside the house, and when I went out to ask what was wrong, he'd tell me he was having trouble and needed a part. I thought this was strange, considering it was just a tune-up, you have to see, but he looked angry, and I let him drive away. Then I didn't see him again, and then I would hang up the phone. The police would come back and I'd tell them the exact same story. They'd take a hard look at the property and find nothing. They might even return with a warrant, but they'd find nothing. A few weeks after that, I'd get back on the ATV and retrieve him from the back of the truck. I'd pull him back home on a sled that I'd attached to the hitch. I'd unwrap him in the garage on a tarp that I had previously set out so that I could catch his decomposing fluids. There, I would dress him and bring him into the living room. He'd sit with me on a vinyl-encased leather couch, and I'd serve him coffee and food. We'd make conversation, and he'd watch the sports with me. Eventually, we'd become friends. That thought was satisfying. In a few weeks, I'd drive a few days to a city I'd never been to. At night, I'd cold cock a sleeping transient and pull him into the back of my pickup truck. Then I'd drive him into the woods and shoot him in the back in a square pattern and then a star pattern, and then I'd put one in his head when I was ready. Then I'd get back in my truck and drive home. I could probably do this over the span of 7 days and I wouldn't even need to sleep. When I got back home, I'd tell my new friend all about it and we'd doze off watching TV. The story must be told.
Who? Yeah, that's where that one ends. Quick show of hands, who here enjoyed that story? Alright, and yes. Alright, we're putting you on a list for special fucking weirdos. Ooh, we can't trust them with knives anymore. Or, polo bats. Baseball bats, forks, to be honest. You will be eating with your hands from here on out because of your unsavory enjoyment. Ooh, what part of you died to let this happen? It must have been a long time ago, as it is for many of us. Well, we have some pills in the back. The story, of course, doesn't believe in modern medicine, but we do not fault you for just picking one up and giving it a go. The story does not favor medicines of any kind, especially the kind that help you deal with your problems, but the story does encourage you to take a chance now and again. Have fun, you goofs.
Thank you for listening to The Story Must Be Told. I'm everyone's son. We're proud to be hosted on The Last Podcast Network. Yeah, even babies are my mommies and daddies. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at TSMBTPod, or follow Pastor Andrew, Brother Reed, and Sister Callista on Twitter at PSTRAndrew, at Our Brother Reed, at Sister Callista. On Christmas, everyone gives me candy, and when I'm cranky, even the governor gives me a hot back rub. Buy one of our shirts, including the new Crow Crow shirt. Find the link on our Twitter, Instagram, and SoundCloud. Ooh, I need to go to bed. Can somebody read me a story? And everyone says yes. Rate and review us. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and tell your friends about the story. Once upon a time, I loved my son. This was a Post Everything production. Learn more at PostEverythingProductions.com or our YouTube channel, YouTube.com/TheStoryMustBeTold. We got free films, and now I'm sleepy. Good night, the entire world. We'll be back next week, and when I die, everyone will know and everyone will be sad because I'm so important. I'm the sun.
Whew.
Oh. All right, I'm going to do one more little thing, and I'm done with this.
It's super brutal and insane.
It's not that crazy compared to some of the other stuff.
This guy just, like, kills a shit ton of people.
Cool. I thought he only kills one. The story must be told.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.